listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It is Series 10, Episode 330 coming your way this week. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. Glad to say Anthony's going to join us as our player in the Predictions League this week. And we're also brought to you by our charity bet partners, Bar One Betting, who have also very kindly given us access to their top-of-the-range recording studio for this week's show. So hopefully this is going to come across extra crystal and clear to you this week. But Gary, what's the story?
Yeah, not too bad, Kieran. Great to hear that Anthony was straight in at full time on Saturday night, reminded me of my prediction for the Longford Town and Kerry game. So no surprise that he's helicoptered himself straight into the Predictions League for this week.
Yeah, off the back of four wins in a row for Athlone, and he's suddenly starting to chirp up. So we'll hear from him a little bit later on. As I'm recording here, I do have the Champions League on in front of me. Tripara FC, they're 2-1 down against Lille at the moment. But great to see him starting.
Is this proper now, is it?
Champions this is the league proper phase, yeah.
All right, okay.
Only another 800 games to go before the final.
Only the other 800. Which is Real Madrid are bitten the piss into Inter.
Yeah.
And LASK are bitten Athens.
LASK lost in Athens, you mean?
Well, LASK lost in Athens. They did indeed. 1-0. But sure, look, the bit half of the Old Firm. is there another Old Firm coming up already?
This weekend, League
Jesus
Cup quarter-final.
Jesus Christ of almighty. I've never seen the like of it. People give up about the League of Ireland or playing each other too many times. I want to hear John Caulfield and what he thinks about the Old Firms. Jesus Christ, there's no firm every second weekend up in that place.
Right, let's talk about the FAI Cup weekend that was, Gary, and more so the draw for the semi-finals. We've got Bohemians against Waterford and Galway United against Derry City. So, as we joked on the Twitter, the hot and cold balls were alive and well at the weekend. They've kept Bohs and Derry apart.
Yeah, shock horror. I think, it's probably, if you're thinking about a final and you're thinking about how clubs might end up in it, probably okay enough with that. Would you agree? Or would you be...
I suppose Derry... I get the Derry shortly, and it'll sound like sour grapes, but I wasn't that impressed with them against Dundalk on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And ordinarily, I would say that they'll win nothing. But if they meet Bohs in the final, we know Bohs' pedigree in finals. So I suppose in that sense, it would be an intriguing matchup. Bohs' team that have been the bridesmaid so often, and Derry that have had a stinker of a season but have got themselves to a cup final. I think even winning the cup doesn't really salvage their season. I suppose, though, with the cup now, it's so important because you get into the second round of the Europa League, so maybe actually in some ways it would salvage their season. That's us predicting it is going to be Bohs and Derry. The way Waterford are playing, they'll be disappointed they didn't get a home draw. They would have taken Bohs at home, I think, but Bohs away, we've been very impressed with Bohs the last while. You'll make Bohs favourite for the cup tie. But if Waterford did come away with a win there, wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world. Galway, they're not the most exciting team in the world to watch. If they got to a final, it'd be different. Same with Waterford, two teams we haven't seen in a final with Waterford since Longford Town filled them in that time in Galway.
I can't
remember the last time they were in a cup final. So it'd be different. You'd imagine that it would capture the imagination of those counties, and they'd bring big supports with them. In terms of a spectacle, what would be the best final? Is it Bohs Derry? And in terms of an attendance, what would be the best final?
I really think you have to... I know the FAI kind of made it into a thing, the attendance being vitally important or something to be talking about. I'm not a big fan of that. I think, you know, let it be what it is on its own merit, almost. I think, wasn't there a concern when, was it Drogheda and Derry had a lower...
They had it followed the Pat's Bowes one, which was the record breaker, and there was obviously concern then when it was Bowes Derry that there was no Dublin club, or sorry, not Bowes Derry, Drogheda Derry, there was no Dublin team, and that there would be a drop, and there was a drop, but it was still the highest attended final for two non-Dublin teams.
It's also a game that doesn't have anybody from Longford in it. Like you know, you can make up any old rule for anything to show it in a good light. So I wouldn't really give a shit about any of that. I'm just saying, like, we want the best game, and the best game in the final is really going to be teams that got there on merit. It's kind of like the same old show. Oh, you know, every year when Cork get relegated, we'll be back having this conversation in 12 months' time. It'll be, the Premier Division needs a team like Cork City in it. It's a disgrace. Same bullshit when Longford Town relegated Shells. It's the same yarn. They don't deserve it. So teams that get there on merit, or get there on merit, deserve to be there. So
what you're telling me basically is whoever wins the semi-final deserves to be there.
No, I'm not saying that. Obviously I am saying that, but everybody.
I just want to know, what would be the best matchup from a neutral's point of view? What would be the best final, do you think, and in terms of two teams getting there that would bring the most fans? What would be the best setup there?
I have absolutely no idea, because I couldn't give a shit, because that's not really a concern of mine, to be quite honest. Like, a Waterford-Galway could be a great game. You know, like, would say, everybody going on about, like, the rivalry that never existed between Cork and Dundalk, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And you look back at the goal that Sean Maguire scored, that rolling pisser into the corner. Wow, you know, no, like, I only remember that because it came up there in Reels there for some reason on the old Instagram the other day.
All six of them cup finals were shite. So I think
go. They were the two best teams in the country. Oh, trading punches all the time. Blah blah blah. Derry or Dundalk rather in European competition and all of this other stuff. Like no. I don't know who's going to be the best final. I'll tell you that on the 6th of November, whenever that game is.
Fair enough. Do you want to give me a prediction for them semi-finals?
Already?
Yeah.
Can we review?
We will, closer to the time, but just got instinct now.
So who? Just name them out to me there.
Bowes, Waterford, Galway, Derry.
Bowes and Waterford. I think Bowes will do them at home.
Okay.
And then
Galway, Derry.
I'll tell you one thing. It could be Galway at home. Derry shite.
I really wouldn't be a fan of Galway getting into the final. For the spectacle, I just don't think they'd bring anything to the final.
What are you basing what you've seen from Derry this season that they'd bring?
Not much either, but I suppose, you know, Michael Duffy might pull it out of the fire on the day. I thought he was very, very good Sunday.
Chris Wardek could do the same in a final, you know what I mean? This is a final we're talking about. I wouldn't be even medium concerned about that, to be quite honest. We could be on for a Bowes Galway final.
Right, okay.
And then Bowes lose.
Jesus, that'd be something. They're on the cusp of a great season, though. For all the talk about Bowes, they're probably not going to win the league, but I think they'll finish second. And mm-hmm. they could be in a cup final. And if they win the cup final and finish second, then Rennie.
Oh, I'll build a statue of him. Yeah. They'll have a concert for him now in 10 years' time when Rennie did his job.
On the quarterfinals, I suppose, Waterford pumping Sligo 3-0, and it was very comfortable. That Sligo team just looked like they've raised the white flag. Drogheda undone by a late goal against Galway.
Did a man sent off, right? Who was sent off?
The striker was Mark Doyle was sent off. He got his second yellow for a horrendous dive.
Oh my god! I'm surprised I didn't see that on all them Twitter or you know them like world Twitter football accounts. You know what I mean? Like it was that bad.
Yeah,
it was absolutely dire.
I was down home in my own house on Sunday, and I love just throwing up the games on YouTube there and watching back a few highlights and I was watching back the highlights of that game and I seen it happen and I actually tweeted it. I was like, I'd love to know What does Kevin Doherty in a situation like that actually say to Mark Doyle after the game?
You'll never play for me again.
Like, it was an incredibly dumb thing to do.
Yeah, but especially with how bad it was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what I mean. Sell it, lad.
He'll
never be a wrestler anyway.
No, he won't. It was absolutely pathetically bad. Really, really put his team into a bit of a problem throughout the game and made a hard job harder again. He really let his side down. And, you know, another potential, you know, like, for example, if they did land Bowes in the final and we expect Bowes to finish second or third, that doesn't give any opportunity for Drogheda to get into Europe. So forget about that conversation. I forgot to change that a number of years ago.
The other thing I was going to say before the game, there were some banners as well aimed at the owners. So not a very harmonious football club.
Of Travella, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So not a harmonious football club at the minute. I suppose the big talking point was Pat's capitulation against Bowes. They had the game in the palm of their hands. And
Palmer 1-on-1.
That's not a pun, but Palmer 1-on-1 blazes it over. Blazes his penalty over Edmondson as well with an own goal you couldn't believe. I think you said it earlier, like, that should be on one of them what happens next blooper reels, because you just would not predict he's going to head the ball into his own net from there. I don't know how he's done it. Try it a thousand
50p
times.
Head, like, yeah.
Try it a thousand times, wouldn't happen. Just an incredibly it's most comical way, but not comical at all to lose a game like that. It's just a real gut punch for Pats, and I get the feeling their season might be fizzling out.
Well, I think that's a lot of it.
They have to beat Rovers on Friday, or it is season over.
Yeah, but are they going to?
No,
like, but you know, like, you have no real confidence in it, and now and then this another season drips away. You know, I think for all the money spent and all the work done to get Stephen Kenny in and all the rest of it, I think a better response would have been expected. But I think we've motioned a few times towards how poor or how lax they seem to be, Pats, lethargic and no urgency and all the rest of it. And I think a lot of fans are kind of turning on that idea at the moment. So, it's not ideal. And I don't really think, like, there's 6 points between the teams now. I don't really see Pats hauling Rovers in. And I haven't been overly impressed with Shamrock Rovers either.
No, I'd agree. I don't see them catching them. I think Bowes are the bigger threat, to be honest with you. Elsewhere, then, as I said, I watched Dundalk and Derry on Sunday, and look, obviously, you win 4-2, and Dundalk only get their other goal towards the end. You can't have too many complaints, especially with the goals that Dundalk are giving away at the moment. The first goal comes from, of course, a set piece. And I thought that was one thing that Kieran Kilduff would be very disappointed with on Sunday, was their lack of discipline. They gave away a ridiculous amount of free kicks. And the first one, I know it's the young lad that's on loan from Rovers that gives it away, a bit of inexperience perhaps, but it's a foul he doesn't need to make. Mm-hmm. And then Dundalk are defending a set piece, something they're not good at, and they end up conceding. Now again, the ball comes off Patrick McLean's shoulder and loops over the goalkeeper. There's a massive hint of fortune about it. But then Dundalk had taken the lead, obviously, and I thought for the first 15 minutes they looked really good, and Derry looked all over the shop. Derry get back in the game to the set piece, and then the penalty. I don't know if you've seen the penalty incident.
A
handball from team where he slips.
Oh yeah, and he's kind of on the ground.
Yeah. I think that's an incredibly harsh decision.
Probably is. There's been a lot made of players holding themselves up or whatever. Oh no, wait, that was, he wasn't on the ground. Sorry, I was confusing myself with another one.
Well, he slips and as he's going down, he puts his hands down by his arse to stop, like, to stop himself.
Oh,
and the ball,
yes,
hits.
Sorry, I'm totally combusted here. Yeah, he slips and the ball is coming in towards him. He nearly runs by the ball and he's
well,
put
he, the ball goes by him and it hits his hand, which is behind his back.
Yeah, that is harsh.
Like, I know there's in I don't know whether they're following this. There's one of these directives, I think, in the Premier League as well, that if a player slips and the ball hits the arm that he's using to break his fall or support himself, it's not given as a penalty. So I don't know whether that's a rule or a law of the game or whether it's just an interpretation that's been applied in certain competitions and it's up to the discretion of the referees here. But I think that was an incredibly harsh penalty to give.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah. As biased as you are, I do agree with you. but look, you know, you get the rubber to the green in some of these competitions. I think they're unlucky for the little deflection as well for Derry's third. But probably wasn't fantastic defending. Like he could have probably closed it down a bit more, a bit tighter. He does get to cut in and get the shot away. and then what was the fourth goal? Oh, it was Duffy. Was that another deflection for Duffy? Can you remember?
No. It was just a savage strike from Duffy.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. And then that's all she wrote, really. Yeah. So, yeah. Look, not a bad. excuse me. Not a bad. Escapade in the cup for Dundalk either. So, you know, it's been a really good season for Dundalk, to be fair.
Yeah.
Have to hand it to them that they've done a great job. Particularly with missing a Ruby and Kenny, I know hasn't been exactly playing sailing since then, but they've still got some good results on the board. And you know, even the win in the Louth Derby a couple of weeks ago was nice as well. So, yeah, a lot to be said for the season. And do you think they'll be able to hold on to fourth? With the hope that maybe Bowes win the...
I know you said that they're doing okay without the two lads, but I just thought at times in that game in the second half when they were chasing it, like in the second half when they were 2-1 down, they were on top, but they weren't really creating much. And I just thought, Jesus, right, if they had Kenny, if they had a Ruby here. Now, in fairness, Gaxa came on and he did get himself a goal, which is great to see, a player coming back from an awful injury. And they've been using him as a 9 when he's come on, but that's not really his game. Obviously more of a 10 or a winger. I think they're just lacking options there. Keelan Dillon, he did get a goal in the Louth Derby, but struggled to get into the game on Sunday. And I just think they're lacking that option off the bench.
It'll be a busy old window for Killer, won't it?
Yeah, and even there's a couple of players he's brought in there that have served him really well. That you know, they've helped bring experience and steady the ship, the likes of Cornwall and Buckley. But I'm looking at them now and thinking, how much value is he going to get with them next season? And I would have my doubts.
Oh, I think it'll be negative value. Mm. You know, you're going to have to really replace those players with serious, not serious anything, but like...
It's difficult though, because as I said, those players, they're experienced. They know what the league's about. They've been around the block. They've come in. They've helped you stay up. And remember Longford in 2015 stayed up with the likes of Rice, Flynn, etc. And then...
Well, they only got rid of Rice.
Tony Cousins moved a few of them on, or a few of them left, and Rice was gone, and he brought in players, younger players that hadn't played in the Premier Division, and it was a disaster.
Well,
I'm sure Kilduff won't do that, but
he might try to not do that, but he mightn't be able to.
Yeah, it's difficult to know how to, you know, it's a big job trying to rebuild something. He doesn't need to do a full rebuild. I'm just saying in certain areas there, he's going to have to get some players in.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm. On James McLean watch this week, he posted on his Instagram on Sunday, if paying the price means missing out, then hi, I am fine with that. I can live with that. What I can't live with is being a yes man and accepting wrongdoings. Entertaining a clown and you become part of the circus.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard more shite of a human being? Sounds like one of them, like, oh, they're all snakes, hon.
Yeah, type that's post. Exactly what Tiernan Lynch didn't want him around the place. Mark Connolly clearly doesn't want him around the place.
Well, what evidence do you have that Tiernan Lynch didn't want him around the place?
Well, he put him out of the squad towards the end, didn't he?
Well, maybe McLean excluded himself from the squad. Like, we're not 100% sure on that either, you know?
Mark Connolly hasn't had him around the place.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been doing lots of crying and moaning about the club rather than just anybody in particular. But I know, like, would say if you look back, you know, some of them clown posts.
Everyone can't be wrong.
Oh yeah, so like it is common denominator, James McLean, like. So yeah, I thought he was giving up social media for a while. No, that didn't really last very long.
No, it didn't last long. No,
no. So like, this is pure. They're all snakes, hun, shite, and Mammy's posting. Oh, you just know who you are, type shit. That you'd immediately block if it ever came near you. So, don't really care. We need to axe James McLean. Watch.
I think Derry City need to axe James McLean. I think that's.
How much that's
going to cost them, though, remains to be seen.
Sure, who gives a shite? They have plenty of money. Maybe Pats will sign him.
Oh, actually, on Derry as well, I see that Cotter's gone out to Sofia.
He has indeed, yeah.
Yeah, that was another panic signing.
Yeah. They did get money for him, though, which is good, I suppose.
Well, he's had more clubs than this podcast host.
Cotter.
Yeah.
Seems to be another common denominator situation going on there.
I wouldn't see that as a negative, him and moved on at all, but it just seems to be a very dysfunctional football club. Just throw money at it seems to be the motto.
Yeah, peg it around the place, all right. Mm. Yeah.
One other bit of a situation that unfolded in the league, live on television, which is always great when that happens, of course, but there was a bit of a public spat between Joey O'Brien and his former employer, Shelburne FC.
Oh yeah, he had a bit of a cry. What was it that he was saying, that he basically got told that he was gone via text?
And then Shelburne,
even the way he was saying it didn't really sound
convincing. No. I think he made an absolute ass of himself, to be honest. If you want my opinion on it,
hasn't
stopped him getting work. I see he's going in on a short term basis with the Ireland 17s, and look, great to keep people like Joey O'Brien involved in the game, etc. But it's guys, you know, Shells were playing, the Shells were on telly that night, they were playing Rovers, and Joey O'Brien's obviously in the studio for that, but someone somewhere within Shelburne had time to whip up a response, which is great.
They're dead right. Yeah, you have to protect the brand as best you can.
Yeah, so busy night for behind the scenes at Shelburne, but I think Joey let himself down there.
Yeah, it probably wasn't really needed. What's the point in running your mouth on national television? Who are you benefiting? You know, and like these, like, similar to McLean, like, they're all snakes, hon. Like, it's just stupid. Just say, yeah, look, it wasn't going great. I thought I might get a bit more time. Sad I didn't. Wish them all the best.
Yeah.
And smile into the camera, thumbs up, hope to do well, or whatever, you know, just get it over with. Like, who gives a shit? Like,
it's again, Virgin Media, the way they do it, the proper build up, lads in the studio, that's something that wouldn't have unfolded in the past. But the fact they're giving stories the space to breathe on the way they cover it, you know, we're getting stuff like this happening now. There's been a few kind of little storylines that have broke from within the Virgin studio, whether it's some of the pundits saying something about a manager and a manager then having a pop back in the media or stuff like this. It's great that these sort of things are actually playing out.
Oh, it is, yeah, it's great, but I just think there's a bit, like a class going on as well.
you know. Like no one gives a shit how your last employer, you know what I mean? What's the benefit to any of that? I just don't really get it. So, yeah, just move on and pipe down. That'd be my recommendation.
Very good, right? I think we'll talk about, well, there was only one Premier Division game, wasn't there? Shamrock Rovers against Shelburne, the game which ended up being remembered more for what happened in the Virgin Media studio than anything else. I didn't actually think for a 0-0 it was a bad game. I thought both teams played some flashes and glimpses of some really nice build-up play and then just didn't have the end product. I think Shelburne will take a lot more encouragement from the performance, though, than Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, probably. I really didn't see much of this on Friday. I was just not watching that game, to be quite honest.
Yeah, no, I watched back a good bit of it now, and I thought for a 0-0, again, there was some really nice glimpses of play from both teams. Just it lacked that that end product.
Yeah. Kind of a bit of a story of the Shell season, though, isn't it? And to a degree, Shamrock Rovers as well. Like, they've left a few points on the board from their lack of finishing. But obviously, Shells are more afflicted than that. So, excuse me.
Just on Rovers, by the way, Rory Gaffney announcing his retirement. A player we were a big, big fan of on this show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all this talk about him ended up in Galway was... never materialized, and I think it was last year that he was signed very late and then went on to have a fantastic season for Rovers, and then kind of signed again late, but he didn't have the same impact probably.
Well, he didn't kick a ball this season, did he?
Oh, very rarely.
He didn't play at all this season, not in one competition.
Oh, did he not?
No.
Well, I thought he got a few minutes here and there, no?
No. But as you said, nine league goals last season, 3 FAI Cup goals, 2 of those in the final, 3 in European qualifying as well, for a player that up until pre-season hadn't got a contract. It was amazing. But actually, the last time he kicked the ball, Gary, was the FAI Cup final. So what a way to go out.
What a way to go out is right, yeah. Look, he's been a great servant, great player. Seemed to be the type of player...
I actually forgot that he had gone to England, had you?
No. Well, where did he start off at? Merview, was it?
Yeah, it was one of the Galway clubs he started out with. Merview, yeah.
Yeah. We probably watched him back in the day, like.
Yeah, oh, we did. I actually would remember him at Limerick.
Mm.
He went to Limerick, he got 9 goals in the first division for them, and then he was up in the Premier with them, got a good lock of goals, and then he went to Cambridge, and then on to Bristol Rovers. And then Salford and Walsall and back to Rovers, Shamrock Rovers then.
Yeah, but he always struck me as like an incredibly hardworking...
Yeah.
He obviously was hardworking, but like he just really had a very strong mentality and worked extremely hard to get what he has. So,
like what we were talking last week on the show about some of the reasons why Rovers didn't get over the line in Europe this season, and you think to the European games last season and the amount of times where if they were under a bit of pressure, they'd just knock one out to the wing and he'd hold it up and get everyone up the pitch, or he'd spin the man and carry it 20 or 30 yards up the pitch. And
they didn't have that this season. Some shit like that. Yeah, absolutely. They did.
What a goal, Troy Parrott. Yup, out of it. 3-2 fence. Oh, unbelievable goal, Gaz.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We are winning the lot.
Now we just need that man to be healthy now for the rest of his natural born life.
Oh, sensational. Oh, Olivier Giroud looking on in disbelief. He must be, he's on the bench for Lille. There you go.
Oh, another good little player. Not a good little player, but a really good player. Oh, Mark Bartra got 2 goals as well. Did he not pack in the football when he, remember their bus was attacked?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I don't know. I remember that happening already. That was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, Bob Arthur, I think he had a big gash in his head, if I remember correctly. I thought he retired or semi-retired or something like that, but obviously not. He's after scoring 2 of the Champions League tonight. Let's have a look at
this. But anyway, we were talking about one great player there, Rory Gaffney, and then Troy Parrott took us off course. But yeah, I suppose there's not really much more to say on that Rovers Shelburne game, really. 0-0, a result that doesn't do a whole pile for either side. I suppose it just keeps Rovers with the advantage, but it was a chance maybe to kill off the teams below them.
I suppose one thing about Rovers is, you know, they've had a disappointing last month or so. You know, not many things have gone right for them. So I suppose nil all draw at home against Shells isn't the worst result in the world, and it keeps them, you know, 6 points ahead of Pats, who are becoming a forgotten entity as a challenger, really.
Oh, they're checking this Parrott goal for VAR.
I just saw it there. I don't think...
Oh, no, they're checking actually for a red card.
Oh, no, he's well onside, lad.
Oh, no, they're checking for a red card here. Lille boy has... it's actually a proper elbow, something you don't see too often these days. He's caught him right in the mush with the elbow. He's gone.
Is he going to get sent off, do you think?
This isn't one of these, like, you know, theatrical tap of the face jobs. He's actually...
He's knocked his block off, has he?
Yeah. Great to see. Yeah. Anyway, right, let's get back on track here. So first division, we'll move into that, and let me just get the results up here. And well, I suppose Jesus, the main story from the first division is that Cork City won the league.
Oh, is it? I thought you were gonna say Kerry winning in Bishopsgate for the first ever time.
Yeah.
Well, probably a bigger story.
This is a game I decided to watch a bit of on Saturday, more so with a view to see how Bray played. And geez, the opening goal they score is a gorgeous team move. And they played really, really well in the game. Shawnee Maguire got Cork the equaliser. But I thought Bray played some really, really good stuff.
Mm. Yeah, they do have that ability, but they also have the ability to make up bags of it as well. But I suppose it's not really... I suppose it was the right, not a great time to be playing Cork at home. Longford are playing them in a few weeks, and you know, as a Longford fan, you might be thinking, right, we could get in on top of these now that they've won the division. But yeah, Bray still have something to play for, to make sure that they're in the playoffs. I think they're fairly home and hosed. It's really fourth and fifth that's up for grabs. And yeah, but I will say that Bray do play some nice stuff. We've seen it a few times. Like even when Alfred bet them there a few weeks ago, we were like, probably Bray could have scored another three themselves.
Yeah, no, they've got
so could have Longford. Like,
yeah, they've got some really good attacking players. Yeah. So, hopefully they can make a go of it in the playoffs. But Cork City, look, it means nothing. They need to stay up next season. That's the end of us. It's back to the first division again. And what was it all for? elsewhere, I suppose you're right. Really, I'll just run through these results here. Treaty United 0, Wexford FC 1. So Wexford, they're just about back in the mix for the playoffs. Cove 1, UCD 1, two of the playoff contenders cancelling each other out there. Bray 1, Cork City 1. Finn Harps 0, Athlone 1. So again, Harps, slight improvement the last couple of weeks, but Athlone 4 in a row. Nobody saw that coming, particularly myself. And then Longford 0, Kerry FC 1. I suppose that really was the big story outside of Cork winning the league. Kerry FC's first ever win in Longford, and a fully deserved one as well, guys.
Yeah. I don't really know what came over Longford, really. It was more just it never got going. I think in the game, we're a bit nervous. I didn't really see Kerry scoring until they did. And
Murphy with the goal, I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Proper old school centre forward.
Yeah, yeah. They did deserve the win, but like it wasn't, you know, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening.
No, but they were very, very well organised. And one thing that did catch my eye with them, we joked a few seasons ago when Galway were in the first division that was John Caulfield trying to build some sort of a rugby team down there. And I kind of looked at Kerry and got similar feels off them the other night. You look, start with the goalkeeper, Matthew Connery's a big lad. Hakkinen at the back into the midfield. And obviously you got Vincent Borden, Murphy up front. So right through the spine of the team, they've got some big, big lads in that team.
Yeah. No, they do, yeah. And like, you know, he's getting a bit more of a tune out of some of these lads as well. Like, I would say we talked before about how rubbish Borden was in the last game.
Yeah, and he's, look, he's still not standing out at all.
No, exactly.
I came away from that the other day and said, gee, oh, I can see why that lad played X amount of Premier Division games before this. He was just effective without being fantastic or anything like that. But I just thought it was a very well-rounded team performance from Kerry the other night.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and it shows that their progression and shows their improvement throughout the... You know, throughout the season, you know, they have gotten a lot better. And fair play to them for doing that.
I was speaking to people after, and I was actually making that point about, I said, geez, their physicality is, you know, geez, they're very physical in a good sense. I'm not using that in a disparaging sense at all. And someone did say, well, they are full time. And I was like, actually, when you think about it, yeah, you know, they should be one of the fittest teams in the league.
Big time, yeah.
I think, you know, Galway did show a couple of seasons ago that can be a successful formula. If you have that physicality about you in the first division, it can be a huge, huge advantage. And, you know, whether they get into the playoffs this season or not, I think that might be a blueprint they look to follow over the coming years. Just try and be that bit fitter than everyone else. But look, I suppose that brings us to the BTS, the Predictions League for this week. And we've already touched on it on the top of the show, our sponsor, Anthony Quinn from Quinn AV is going to play it this week on behalf of the listeners. Let's just see if we can get a recap of how last week went, first of all. I'm hoping now that Carl hasn't let us down. No, never in doubt, Gary. Never in doubt, right? Last week we were joined by our friend Amir Zaki. And another low-scoring week all around. Amir got 4 points. His correct scoreline was 1-1 Cove UCD. He got the correct result in the Waterford Sligo Rovers game. Of course, he met a bags of it. He thought they were league games. So he left points on the table by not giving us the who progress, etc., etc. So that was his own slip up there. But you came out with 7 points. Oh. Not bad. You got two correct scores, Bray Cork and the Waterford Sligo one. And you got a correct result as well. That was Pat's Bowes. Well, you got Bowes to progress anyway, so you got the point for that.
Right.
And then I, for probably the first time this season, was the top player.
What?
Two correct scores, three correct results. So that is nine points for me.
Well done.
Gold star for Kieran.
Well done. You should go out this weekend now and celebrate.
Is that my first time this season? I'm fairly sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my best points tally since week 4.
I'm on week 30 now.
Yeah. I got 11 points in week 4. That's the most I got this season.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So 9 points for me, 7 points for you, and 4 points for the listeners. And that leaves the standings like this. I'm still bottom 131, listeners on 142, and you're on 183.
Lovely.
So that
bring
brings
home,
us...
guys.
That brings us to this week, and we will start with the first division games. Oh, and we've got a Cork derby, would you believe, at Turner's Cross. Cork City against Cove Ramblers, and Anthony's going for a 1-0 win to Cove Ramblers.
I don't see that, really. I think...
win in Turner's earlier in the season, didn't they, for the first time ever?
In their history, yeah.
Yeah, Cork with nothing to play for here. I don't know how much celebrating would have been done or wouldn't have been done, but...
I think for the first game back at home after you win the league, you don't want to be losing.
You know, I think that's what's going to happen. I'm going to follow Anthony, 1-0 Cove.
I'm going to go 1-0 Cork.
Kerry FC against Bray, another promotion 6-pointer. Seem to be getting loads of those in the division, which is great because there was no title race, but the race for the playoffs is absolutely fantastic right now.
Yeah, hopefully... we want Bray to beat Kerry. So I'm going.
Well, draw from a Longford perspective would be ideal because Bray are still within touching distance.
Oh, yeah,
well,
I suppose. Yeah. 1-1. So this is all Longford town based.
The concern here is obviously Bray's away form. It's tragic.
But they'll do it for us this weekend.
Kerry on an absolute high into the playoff. They're in the top five now after beating Longford. 1-0 Kerry.
Okay.
Anthony going 2-0 Kerry there. UCD against Athlone. Will it be five in a row for the blue and black? Anthony thinks it will. He's going 1-0 to the Midlanders.
No, could we get a response here out of UCD? They kept plugging away on Friday and got their late equaliser. I'm going to go 2-1 to UCD.
I'll go 1-1.
Okay.
That brings us to Wexford against Finn Harp, sort of game where Wexford have to win to keep in touch.
Look, Harps are bad.
Yeah, Anthony's gone 1-0 Wexford. I think that's a good prediction.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm going to go 1-0 Wexford, Mikey Rowe.
Oh, I'll go 1-0 Wexford as well. I'm not going to bother with a goal score. And then we have got Longford against Treaty United. And Anthony is going for a 2-0 win to Longford Town. Now, the concern here, Gary, is the Colemore. Him one got a red card after the game the other day. Could get three games possibly. I don't know. But he's going to miss this game for sure. Longford are very light on centre-backs. But they go up against a Treaty team who have lost three of their last four, haven't won any of those. They don't really have a standout attacking player. Although I would be a bit concerned, you know, Dara Kareem's coming on loan from Drogheda, and he's got a goal already since he's gone down there. And just with Longford lacking the physical presence.
He got sent off against Longford earlier on in the season, don't forget.
Did he, Kareem?
Yeah.
Oh, was that in one of his first games?
I think it was like the first or second game, yeah.
Right. But
after
just,
the break.
He's a big physical lad, and now Longford not having their centre-back pairing, sort of game where I'd worry about him maybe doing something. But look, from a Longford point of view, they simply have to win this game.
I think
and
so.
They have
but
to win next week against Harps as well. So there's no margin for error here.
Yeah, but apart from that, I just think, like, also, yes, Longford will be without Cole, and that's a problem to deal with. But I think they have enough up in attacking areas.
They didn't create much at all on Saturday, did they?
No, and that's my point. Like, they did hit the post, but like that was probably one of their only real attempts. That, you know, like Longford are, you know, they're in and around the playoffs, trying to get into the playoffs. Like, teams are losing, dropping points and winning points all over the place. So losing a game against a playoff rival isn't exactly the greatest crime in the world. They have to respond to it now on Saturday. That's all they can do. So I do believe that they can do that. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Town.
Okay. I will go for a 1-0 win to Longford Town.
Okay.
And Anthony going 2-0 to Longford Town. So all three of us in agreement, which is quite positive. Right, Premier Division games. I think I'm going across to this one Friday. Drogheda United against Sligo Rovers. It is win or bust for Sligo.
Can you repeat that? Who's playing this game?
Drogheda Sligo. Win or bust for the Bitter Red here.
And this is in
Drogheda.
Oh, yeah. 2-0, 2-1 to Drogheda.
I'm going to go 2-0 to Drogheda. I think Sligo. I think the white flag has been raised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Galway and Bowes, cup final rehearsal or cup semi final. No, oh, sorry. Cup final rehearsal. Yeah.
Where is this game? Dalymount, is it?
No, Galway.
Oh, God, sorry. I thought you said FAI Cup final rehearsal.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. That's what you said earlier. You said Galway Bowes Cup final.
Oh, God, Jesus, I'm losing it. Oh, this is going to be a really tough game. I think if Bowes come out here with a point, that would be quite a successful trip. I'm going to go for a nil-all draw, which is
did they need to be winning this to stay in the hunt?
Yes, every team needs to win every game. I'm just saying I don't believe this will be one of them. I'm going to stick with it. You know, I know Bowes is scoring,
especially with Rovers and Pats playing each other. You have to be going and winning this
nil-all. Another Bohemian tragedy.
I can see in my mind's eye a late Bowes winner and half of that away end spilling out onto the pitch. on that, by the way, Pat's given a closure of Section G
for 2 games.
I think we've actually got some questions in the hotline about that, so we might come back to that later.
But, okay.
Just a reminder for everyone to behave themselves out there. So you're going, sorry, just refresh me. What are you going here?
Nil-nil.
And Anthony's going 1-1.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 1-0 Bowes with a 90th minute winner for the bonus point.
90th minute winner for the bonus point? No. Yeah. You have to pick someone.
Colin Whelan.
Okay. 90th minute winner for a bonus point. Piss off.
Extra bonus point if it's beyond the 90th minute. Shells against Derry.
Shells against Derry.
I'm hoping for a draw here from a Dundalk perspective, which is very plausible.
It is plausible, particularly in Tolka Park. I feel some of these games are really tight, but are going to be really, really shit as well. I know you're pumping up the Galway Bowls game, but I just see that being, no one grabbed it by the scruff of their neck and both teams came out with a nil-all draw. I'm going to go for a nil-all draw on this one as well.
You're going nil-nil. That's exactly what I'm going for as well. Anthony sees goals, though. He's going 3-2 to Derry, so hopefully he's right, to be honest.
Oh, Jesus, Anthony.
Waterford against Dundalk. This would be the game I'd be strongest on in opinion. I think Anthony's gone 2-0 Waterford, and I would have to agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 2-0 Waterford.
Yeah, I'm not sure about 2-0 to Waterford, but I do see Waterford shading this. They're just, as I've said before, the chests are out. They're, loving it. Loving life at the minute, as the saying goes. I'm going to go 2-1 to Waterford.
Yeah, okay. As I said, both of us going 2-0. That brings us to Pats against Shamrock Rovers. Anthony going 1-1. I cannot see Pats winning this game. I haven't, and I think it's, I'll follow Anthony. 1-1.
I'm going to go for another nil-nil. I've done the third one of the night.
Hope you're listening, Max. Draws galore.
Draws galore, but I don't really feel it. I can just see Stephen Kenny, Palmer missed another sitter and, some other shit happened as well. And
do you think he'll play, actually, after what happened? Do you have to take him out of the firing line or do you chuck him out there and say, get that out of your system?
Yeah, to a degree, but also like...
And what about Edmondson? Same thing?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That was a freak incident nearly what happened with Edmondson. But you want players that can score goals. Palmer would be like, lad, you made a bollocks of it for us in the cup. You need to go out and fix that now.
Yeah, fair enough.
We're putting a bit of, all this yarn about putting an arm around the shoulder. All this rubbish. No, sorry. Sometimes you just have to take responsibility and go off and put it to bed yourself. You know what I mean? Pajamon misses a few chances and Cochran is going around, breastfeeding him. Not happening. You know what I mean? Like, players, you have to take responsibility.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. I'm following Anthony 1-1 and you're going 0-0 on Pat's Shamrock Rovers. So that's the predictions league for this week. That leads us into the Barrow Betting charity bets. How we done last week, actually? I should check that.
Shite, I think we all went for Longford.
Oh, possibly, yeah. There's no extra money in the account here anyway, so no point in looking at spilt milk. We'll just move on. Right, I'll go first here. Premier Division, Drogheda and going, they're a bit short at 8 to 11, but I'll go with them. I think 6-4 Waterford is fantastic value.
That is fantastic value, yeah.
Into the First Division. Wexford. Oh, there's a bit of a smell off them. I'm not going to touch them. Oh, Jesus. Longford. What did they get me to? 36-5. Would I be happy with that? Let me see what tenor returns on that.
Quick maths going on here.
I'll take the treble. I'll take the treble. So draw out of Waterford, Longford, €10 stake, 82.05 return, and I am locked in.
Great. Okay. Get into my account there.
Yeah. Right, here we go, Gary Riley. Right, we're in. Go, throw them at me.
Drogheda,
yep.
Under 2.5 in Galway Bows.
Okay, let me just get that here. Under 2.5. Oh, that's 11 to 10, okay. Yeah, that looks good.
Waterford.
Waterford to win, yep.
Yeah. What's UCD against that loan?
I got it for you now. First division. UCD, they're a shade of odds on, 19 to 20.
Any good in that, do you think?
So it's 8 to 1 without UCD, and with UCD, it's 16 to 1.
Oh, no, I'll say, I don't trust UCD.
Yeah, I don't trust Wexford. We probably are better off not both putting Longford into the bet. That leaves
I have enough at 8 to 1, yeah.
You're enough at 8 to 1. Okay, So lock you in for the €10 stake there. And the return would be €90.68. So if we could both land that, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's the charity bet. As ever, thanks to Bar One Betting for their continued support, not only with the charity bet, but several times this season they've allowed us to use their lovely recording studio, which is very, very kind of them. So thanks to our sponsors, Bar One Betting. Gambling for over 18s only, see gamblingcare.ie. Right, let's move to the hotline, Gary, for this week.
Let's go.
Fire it up here. Right, here we go. Git, has Ian Dowie seen Edmondson's header? I don't get the reference there, to be honest. So
probably another 50p head.
Apologies, Git. Nathan O'Reilly, fantastic win for Kerry FC against Longford. Well deserved. Kia Moore was lucky not to get sent off in the first half.
It was a horrendous
challenge. Now, I wouldn't call it a horrendous challenge.
No, it wasn't a horrendous challenge. It was a red card, though.
It was. For anyone that hasn't seen it, the ball is played into the area. Kia Murphy gets his head on it, and Kia Moore comes out and tries to punch the ball and misses him, flattens Kia Moore, and Kia Moore had a free kick awarded to him.
Yeah. Now, I will say one thing. The ref was shocking.
Shocking.
Absolutely.
I was leaving the ground after, and a few people, when they kind of see you climbing down out of the commentary box, they want to have a word with you. What did you think of this? What did you think of that? And there was people coming over to me, Longford fans, that were disgusted with the referee, and they were blaming the referee for the result. And I was like, lads, the referee, you're right, was horrendous.
Yeah.
But to the detriment of Kerry more than anything.
Yeah. 100%.
Should have had a penalty, possibly should have had a red card there. There was another assault and Adenikum was on a yellow and got away with a bit of a loose forearm. It was accidental, but I've seen them given. So on another night, Longford could have been down to 9 and had a penalty given against them. So not a good night for the referee. I thought he was off from the get-go.
Oh, he was.
There was a ball that went out for a throw, and remember that crack of linesman's looking at refs looking at linesman, and no one knows what to do. And I just thought right from the get-go that set out their stall. A very, very bad night at the office for them. Sorry, I didn't read the rest of Nathan's comment there. Big game against Bray on Friday. Confident of a win considering how good we've been at home. Yeah, okay. Colm, are there supports for a player like Ramal Palmer, who appears to have shouldered a lot of blame for the defeat Friday? First the 1v1, then the penalty. Seemed crestfallen at the end. Good question.
Yeah, he did lost. He's not going into a cup semi-final, and he had a part to play in it.
Yeah, no, but I appreciate the question. I don't know. Maybe I will try and get an answer for Colm on that and reply to him on Twitter. I don't know what kind of supports there are for players out there. I'm sure there's people within the club that can... that's a good question from Colm. I appreciate that. So I'm going to try and get an answer for that, Colm. Daniel Shields, Dundalk cruising again until a set piece, as I said earlier. Beyond the joke now, I think that's 30 goals conceded from set pieces. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I fully agree with the point, Daniel. KM2 Archive, I see a lot of people sniggering when it was suggested Pats will get fined for confetti. They won't get fined for confetti. They'll be fined for a 6-minute delay to kick off on live TV2. Fines for delays are standard throughout football.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I think it wasn't that because of the lime. You couldn't see the lime.
Yeah, they had to get the leaf blower out. I suppose it doesn't it doesn't help that, you know, the SAI, they're so close to the pitch that, you know, it ended up on a heap on the line. So,
yeah.
Probably just need to take a bit more care with their displays, as cool as it was. Sean Kelleher, first ever league win for Kerry.
Sorry, just on the fine element to the end of the game, they probably get away from it because they've had a punishment in recent weeks.
Well, so as I touched on earlier, I think there's a couple of questions about the punishment.
Come on to it. Yeah, go ahead.
That the Pats have had. So obviously that's been activated now after the incident in the Waterford game, where a player, or someone in the crowd, seemed to confront a Waterford player and actually made contact with him. It was Voilas. So that their suspended ban of the Section G has been implemented now. And I suppose there's a fear that it might be extended further given the delay to the game. I don't know whether that's going to be the case or not, but a lot of people are asking the question, why has that? We've got a comment here from Keane OC. Can you discuss why there's different fine protocols for everybody except Shamrock Rovers? And look, just to give you my thoughts on it, I suppose I was in Richmond the night that incident happened, but I was the other side of the ground. I couldn't really make out what happened, but you see the footage after, and one idiot has ruined it for everyone there, where he's taken a few steps forward to go out of his way to confront the Waterford fan, and other people around him are now paying the price for that. But you know, there was an extremely serious incident in Talla a few weeks ago where one clown ran out onto the pitch. And I made this point at the time when we were talking about this. I said, you know, would it be fair or unfair on Shamrock Rovers to have a closure of a part of the stadium for one clown? But one clown has done something there for Pats, and they've had a closure now of that section. Now, the difference is that Rovers' suspended sentence was up. It was over. They weren't under the microscope at the time, whereas Pats were. But people will look at that and they'll say that, you know, there's a great inconsistency there.
A suspended sentence here. Hold on a minute. A suspended sentence doesn't mean everything is white clean. You don't look at the recent history or the number of acts. A suspended sentence is a punishment. If you do something within that time frame, you get exactly what happened to Pats.
Yeah. Like, again, if let's say Rovers had delayed kickoff, that there's a bit of confetti out on the pitch and the lines need to be cleaned, it's not the biggest crime in the world. If the FAI come out and say, right boys, you were under the microscope before, I know you're not under a thing now, but we're going to fine you for that, we're not going to close anything, it's not the most grievous thing in the world, you'd say absolutely fine. But for someone to run out onto the pitch and confront a player and for there not to be any sort of closure there of that part of the stadium, and then for Pats to get a closure here for some, you know, it's one individual that's gone out of his way to engage with a player on the pitch. They're very, very similar incidents. Yet there's been two different punishments handed out.
I will say one thing: the same Pats fan didn't actually enter the pitch.
No, but it's you know, he's
there's a significant difference there, lad. One fella was standing inside where he was supposed to be standing, and a player was very close to him. That's just
he made contact with the player's face, whereas the Rovers fella, I suppose, didn't get close enough to do that. So we can pick holes at this all day. At the end of the day, they are similar events, and we've had different outcomes punishment wise, which has riled up a lot of people, and I can see why.
Yeah, no, I understand that, right? I'm saying that Shamrock Rovers, either on the pitch, through football, and, like, you know, as I've said many times before, the league, probably 30 red cards in the last 10 years. I'd say that's a very conservative estimate. Pico, keepers, you name it, getting away with stone murder. And then Shamrock Rovers, they have gotten away. They've been the FAI, and I really don't give a shit. It's the independent this, and it's this and that and the other. That sounds like the same shit that we have to hear out of the government. Now, let's create a body so that the government isn't responsible for anything, and it's just a bunch of people that no one elected taking responsibility for bullshit, and actually don't take responsibility for bullshit. This is the same type of excuse. You said it before, and you were talking about in respect of we'll say the merging of the seasons to align to LOI. You know, they are you said it right, they are the governing body.
Yeah.
I was less harsh on them because that's a lot more cats to herd.
You herd cats now, do you?
Yeah, well, that's the saying.
Most people, but, is it?
Yeah, it's very hard to herd cats because cats don't really pay attention to you, right? You know.
Very good. Okay, I've learned something today. Thanks.
Good man. Anyway, the point is, they can sort this stuff out, and they decided not to with Shamrock Rovers, and they have allowed this narrative to occur where the Rovers get off scot free repeatedly, and while. You know, I'm sure someone will come along and tell us, oh, this was this and that was that, and there was this reason and that reason, and Paddy said this and Mickey said that, and all this other shit that no one actually cares about. It's the perception. And the perception is out there now, particularly with St. Pat's getting the punishment that they've got. It's not good enough from the FAI. It should have been dealt with properly all the way back from the RSC. They absolutely fucked it back then.
Yeah.
They fucked it bad, and they've been paying for it since. Yeah. And they haven't taken any opportunity to mete out a proper punishment. There was nothing about that incident up in Drogheda. The one I was talking about where the linesman got attacked. Or got something thrown at him, whatever it was.
Mm.
Nothing about that. I heard nothing about that. Oh, it wasn't in the ref's report. All right, yeah, but like 3,000 people that were at the game saw it. It wasn't in the ref's report, though. So it didn't happen. Do you know what I mean? This is the type of pony that you have to listen to. And it's up to the FAI to make sure that this stuff is handled. They didn't handle this, and they've made a bags of this completely. And it's not good enough.
Okay. Matthew, is it an advantage for Bowes that they will play in the international break a week before the Waterford game in the semi-finals, whereas Waterford will have a two-week break in between games?
Meh.
It all depends on, like, if you win your game before the break, you want to keep playing. If you lose it, it's a great time to reset. So I wouldn't be reading too much into it.
No, not me.
Owen Friday, Owen's a Brave fan. Friday is huge. Full confidence. A win should be enough to 95% secure the playoffs. Hard to see how we don't win the home games, especially if we play like we did last Friday. The usual worries are there, but the 4-0 before means nothing when it's very easy to know how that happened. It's not the best constructed tweet, Owen, but we know you're very passionate about Bray, so keep on sending them in.
Try again next week, Owen.
The Irish Pirate Radio Archive. I took the bus to Dublin Airport, flew to Leeds. One night stay, match ticket, a return was 45% cheaper than Dublin to Longford. One night stay, a match ticket, fuel and return. Why can't the League of Ireland create a genuinely fun and inviting ad campaign to keep fans in Ireland? I know Gary has just put the boot into the FAI there a couple of moments ago, but I don't think the FAI can do much about the cost of a hotel, pints, fuel. Ireland is expensive. It's not exactly breaking news.
Yeah, that's... I know what you're saying, Irish Pirate Radio Archive. It's not that handy to gather up money for following a team around the country. Like, people are making yes no decisions all the time about how they can follow their team.
Yeah,
if it suits all the time. I understand the point, but maybe it would have felt a bit easier on the pocket if you didn't bother your head going over to a Leeds game.
The one thing we don't really see ad campaigns, and I know Jesus advertising on the telly, etc. It's very expensive. I fully understand that, but is there some sort of campaign that could be done to tell people, to sell them, you know, this is why you should just try it once. I even like through their own channels, is there more you can do there to show people that? Because I'm seeing an awful lot, the same as you, you go on Twitter, you fall into the For You section and it spews out shite that you don't want to see, but you end up going down rabbit holes. I'm seeing a lot of stuff at the minute about Manchester United fans, how they're being screwed over by the club, that they're having their season tickets took off them for ridiculous reasons. And the general feeling is just that, you know, the club want to get these season tickets so they can sell them to the highest bidder, et cetera, and get more tourists in the ground. But there's a real, like, apathy setting in at the top level of football in England. The kickoff times,
Been moved.
Yeah, and just not making a friendly match going experience. Whereas here in Ireland, you can go to a game, 10, 15 euros, you can have your burger, your chip, you can have a pint, you can have a bit of crack with the players. You know, it's that more interactive fan. It's like the grassroots level of the game. Is there more we can do to get that message across, that the fact there's no VAR in our league, the fact that, you know, if you want to volunteer, you'll be welcome at open arms, and you might actually end up getting a job or a career out of doing that through the league. There's any amount of people that have gone into media positions and now have jobs, except, you know, is there more we can do to sell the message? Give it a go. Give it a try.
No.
No, there's not. Nothing we can do.
No. the point is, we a few weeks ago, we were only talking about the improvement. Grounds bursting at the seams. We need more grounds. We need bigger stadium. We need this and that and the other. The place is bursting with League of Ireland football fever. And it has been. There's never been more eyes on the league ever.
Okay.
Right? So, this idea, if you were having this conversation back in 2013, yeah, fine. Right? I'd understand that. But you see the same shit, and I know it's only Twitter or social media in general or whatever, you know, everybody abusing the people going to Croke Park a few weeks ago. I only want to watch the best football, right? Lads that know nothing about the game talking about what they think is the best football. They haven't a clue. But, like, that's fine. You know, like, I was going to say, some people watch, like, you know, fantasy programs or whatever. Like, you know, we all know that's not real, but, like, you like it for the story. And some people like following Man United because you have Mark Oldbridge shiting on into your timeline later. Or, you know, I want to be part of something that's worldwide. Okay, that's also fine. Or, you know, some distant relative that you never heard of, you know, you should fix the toilets in Old Trafford. There's all these made up reasons, and some legitimate, some not. I don't think there's much point in selling to fans of Manchester United or Liverpool or anything like that, because they have a very low effort relationship with their football.
Mm.
So the idea of having to go to Talca on a Friday night, it's drizzly.
I think I told this story before, where we're sitting around with a group of lads one day, and
it was the time Luton got promoted, and every single post on your thing was, oh my god, this stadium's going to be in the Premier League.
Yeah, I still actually have Luton and whatever the name of that stadium is,
Kenilworth Road,
blocked on Twitter.
But anyway, it came up on Sky Sports News. They were doing a feature on Kenilworth Road, and they were showing that you can see into people's back gardens and et cetera, et cetera. And one of the boys chirped up. He was a Liverpool fan, and he was like, it's an absolute joke that that's allowed in the Premier League. And I said, what difference does it make to you, lad? You'll be watching on the TV.
And everyone
kind of started laughing. And then I said, you do realize that the actual match-going Liverpool fan is buzzing to go there.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get his head around this. I was like, Liverpool fans that are go to Anfield and go to the games cannot wait to go to that ground, because it's an old school throwback. It's not a soulless stadium. It's a proper old school thing. It's in the town, in behind houses, and they haven't got to go to one of them in 20 years, and they can't wait. And he could not get his head around this. I was like, you'll be watching on your Fire Stick at home, in your bed. It won't matter
in your drawers. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying, that maybe there's a lot of people out there that aren't for winning.
And it's the same thing. Like, you know, there's lads there crying and moaning about, we'll say, the Old Trafford Stadium falling down around them and waterfalls, you know, drowning fans during games.
Aye, as if it's their seat. Yeah,
exactly. And there's lads from, you know, Roscommon crying about this, like. You know, that's the type of stuff. So, like, we'll say, you know, the same lad from Roscommon that'll, you know, go up to Dublin Airport and catch a flight over or get the boat over or whatever he does 5 times a year, you know, that would be more palatable doing that than driving 20 minutes up to Sligo and going to a Sligo Rovers game.
Mm.
you know, like they'd be just like apples and dogs. Never mind the same sport. It's not even the same species.
Yeah.
Of stuff that he's watching. So, like, I'm not saying, I'm not saying, like, right, you know, I know loads of Premier League fans that have, like, totally washed their hands of the Premier League in the last 10 years and, like, can't understand how they ever liked it at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the they're like, oh my God. You know, like, I'm not caring about the Premier League, you know, not more than 20 years, but, like, there's some lads that have really like had the old, you know, come to Jesus moments, and been like, wow, I can't believe, you know, following X team at their worst is much better than following Manchester United through a Sky Sports subscription winning the treble.
Mm.
So,
yeah, I'm no, not fair, sa- point, fair point.
And the final thing I will say is like, yeah, there's definitely a snobbery on my part, like, yeah, definitely look down my nose at people that do that, so or that follow Premier League specifically. And I will say, the last thing I'll say is like, I've had this conversation. A good mate of mine is a United fan, moved to London a few years ago. Like, he's been to like two or three games, he's not that interested in it, and he likes football, but also he doesn't love it,
right?
He loves it, but he doesn't love it.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all going to Kosovo in a few weeks' time. Or, you know, after Armenia, we still went to the next game.
Yeah.
You know, for, you know what I mean? Like, it's not only that we love our country and we love following the national team, we love the misery and we love the game.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, there's other people that love other stuff, so God direct them.
Yeah, good point, good point. You'll like this one to round off the show. Alan Kelly, is it finally Bo's year?
No. Like, for what?
league and cup double? Imagine that.
Ah, stop. Look, there's a lot of people, long suffering people that are, you know, at it a very long time and sick to their bollocks of looking at the same shite and the hard luck stories. But no, I don't think it's their year yet. I think one thing that they're probably, they have in a degree, would say you're looking at Devoy. I was just thinking about his goal there, or his assist there for, I think it was the Parsons goal against Derry a few weeks ago, you know, that little quick free kick, that little chip, you know, beautiful little bit of play. And they need to hold on to the like a Devoy and Tierney. Tarasca had a bid rejected from some Albanian side or something like that there for Casper there. I think they're missing, I would say Hickey has been very good for them this season, but I think they're missing a couple of other players. Definitely missing up front, like, who's the lad that's going to get the 17 goals? Do you know what I mean? Like, who's the lad who's going to be beside Hickey that might prevent 5 goals from being conceded this season? I think, you know, I often say that X club and Y club have a big off season in store. I would say Cork have a big one, Dundalk have a big one. You know, to build for the next season and not get into a situation, particularly for Dundalk, you know, where they're fighting around the bottom, after a really good first year back at the Premier Division, where Bo's, they need to keep some of them players. They need to definitely get rid of some of the scrap around the place. But they do need to make, I think, like 3 key signings in the off season to be a team that can be in and around the top place in the division. Will it be enough? Because, like, as we said before, I think Shamrock Rovers have a bit of a job to do as well. Do a bit of a refresh there. I think it's not their year, but if they keep going the way they're going and Rennie's given space to breathe, it could be their year in the next 2 years to a degree. Not sure they're at title winning, you know, status yet. Even if they do add a couple of players like I've just mentioned, but maybe in a couple of years they could be real heavyweights. One downside, one asterisk to all of this is playing the next few years in Richmond Park. That might be a bit of a Debbie Downer on the whole thing.
Yeah, fair point. Just before we go, I should have brought it up when we were talking about our disdain for the Premier League there, but I don't know what overcame me, but yesterday I had the day off, decided to sit down on the couch, watch a few documentaries, watch Mourinho's, found it quite enjoyable. But I decided to watch the first few episodes of the Pep documentary. You're the man you call the great ruiner of football.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, if I was in his dressing room, I don't know how much I could listen to that. It is, modern football is shite.
What's he saying?
There's just so much hugging and kissing in the dressing rooms. It's...
Okay.
I'm like, what is going on here? These are grown men.
Yeah. I hear you barking. It's like... I don't really know how to, definitely. I don't want to sound like, although someone did say to me, or didn't tag me on Twitter, but I did see the post about old man shouting at cloud if we quit the pod. But are we committing to another season?
I just wanted to say thanks to everyone who threw us in messages and stuff last week. It was great to see. So that's obviously a big encouragement for us, because I said we will be guided by the listeners on that. If people want us back, then look, we'll come back. So we'll take it all under consideration, and I suppose we'll let you know in another wee while.
Well, you don't want to commit to it now, no?
Don't want to commit just yet, no. There's a lot to consider. It's a big undertaking, 10 years, a long time and everything, but we will try our best to keep the people happy if that's what they want.
That sounds very negative, does it not?
It's the League of Ireland podcast. It has to be negative. But I just wanted to say that. He's always pricking around on the tactics board as well, like moving the pieces around. I'm like, was Sir Alex at this shite? I don't think he was.
No, I don't.
Playing with little magnetic men.
No, I don't really buy it. I think it's a lot of... definitely performative shite. Like, I just don't see, I just don't believe the game has like changed so much. Like, it has changed, in a negative way that we've often mentioned before, like where, a lot of ingenuity and, the zest for the game has been coached out of people, and you're definitely hearing my friend was telling me about a podcast he listened to about some EGOT statistician going on about taking the points from in GA, taking the 2-point opportunity, and the cost benefit analysis to that. I thought I was going to get sick, and that was just a lad telling me about a podcast he listened to. Do you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't even, I thought I just had to lie down and think, like, this is the way the game has gone. And, I spent so many years bitching and moaning about Jimmy McGuinness and the stratification of the GA that he did, and ruined the game for many years. Like, look at all the rule changes that had to be implemented, but not solely because of him, but like a lot of it, a lot of people could trace some of it back to that man. And look, he won a couple of All-Irelands, I believe, so it showed that back in your face. But the cost of the game up and down the country probably was great, and I think all this XG. I think I saw a clip there, Graham Souness now. What was he saying? Oh, this pressing or whatever you said. That was just called closing down, lad.
Yeah.
Right? Gegen pressing or whatever this other shit is. Like, everything has to be something. It can't just be a lad closing a bloke down. Lad takes a bad touch on his own D and the striker's in on top of him and nicks it off him. There's no Gagan pressing there. There's no, you know, Pep going, oh, yes, yes, I remember the whiteboard and the little magnets on the whiteboard. That's why I did that. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate there's tactics and ideas and all of that stuff. And I don't, I'm not trying to minimize totally what managers do at all. And I'm not doing that. But like, you know, the way people would go on about Pep is that he's curing a different type of cancer every Saturday at 3 o'clock in Manchester, like, or before the Nou Camp. Yeah, it's just, I just don't buy it. And the thing I'd always go back to, John O'Shea and Gelsenkirchen in 2014.
Yeah.
There was no tactic. Other than, big lad, you go up front, we need a goal. We're 1-0 down and it's in injury time. That was it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the big tactic. That's been going on since God was a gossip, like. Just yeah. No, don't wanna know about it. Right, and actually the last thing I will say is, you know, I fucking love when I hear a team beat someone and they have like 12% possession.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That gets me going.
Look, thanks to everyone that played their part in this week's show, including our sponsors, Anthony Quinn, Quinn AV. We'll see how he gets on in the Predictions League. And thanks to Barrow and Betman for their continued support as well. Don't forget to give the podcast a follow on Spotify. You can get us on X or on TikTok as well. But for this week, from Kieran Burke and from Gary Riley, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you again soon.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.